Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep. Denizens of the night, welcome to another episode of the macabre, the terrifying. Tonight, we'll take a spin down the back roads and see what kind of cane we can raise. Our story follows several people as they're drawn to a farmhouse in the middle of the countryside. This farmhouse seems to be the nexus for some kind of force which scrambles cell phones and disrupts machinery. But what secrets will they uncover out back by the barn? And what secrets is the kindly old farmer keeping? This story is called Jaws of Fate, and was written by A.G. Hilton.
Come on, just work!
Sienna threw down her phone and slapped a hand atop the center console, but the device merely stared back at her from where it had landed in the passenger seat with a blank screen. The navigation app had locked up while trying to recalculate at a point when all signal had dropped. Now the phone wouldn't do anything at all, and she found herself wishing she'd braved the traffic pileup instead of listening to the piece of crap when it suggested an alternate route. She had gone a good half hour down the proposed back roads before the phone decided to give up the ghost. After that, she tried retracing her steps, but there had been so many turns that she quickly questioned just from which way she had come. Soon, the attempts to backtrack had only further confused things. As she drove along, the world outside devolved into an indistinguishable rotation of trees and brush, which cast longer and longer shadows as the sun sank on the horizon. The thought of aimless driving on these rural roads after the sun set made her a touch queasy, a poor pairing with both her growling stomach and the southern heat which the AC struggled to keep at bay. But no, it wouldn't come to that. This was the freaking 21st century, after all. Sooner or later, the phone would straighten itself out, the GPS would reset, the signal would come back, and then she'd be on her way. As she rounded the next bend, another car appeared heading the opposite direction. She noted the white color, and her brain jumped to police. She slumped a little lower in her seat as it passed. The irony was not lost on her. In other circumstances, she might have flagged them down at least to get some directions, but she felt she couldn't afford that luxury. Maybe it was pure paranoia, but she judged Gregor Gorecki as someone influential enough to make involving the authorities a dangerous proposition. He had friends in higher places than she had realized. What if he had pulled strings to have her labeled as a disturbed missing person? Seemed his style. Hell, she wouldn't put anything past that mobster psychopath. And hadn't she given him more than enough reason to take a personal investment in her disappearance? Absently, she put a hand in the purse which sat in the passenger seat. She felt the rolls of money, some cash she'd slipped from a stash Gregor kept on hand while he was drunk for just such an occasion. Christ, what was she doing? Was it not enough to wound his pride by running out on him? Did she really need to take money too? But she reminded herself that it would help her make good on disappearing. Once she did that, he'd give up the search, eventually. He had plenty to do now that he'd assumed control of the family's enterprises. But the thought brought no comfort. Here she was, states away from him, and for all she knew, there could be an APB out for her up and down the eastern seaboard. Otherwise, maybe she could have gone to someone for help in the beginning. Hell, if it were anyone except Gregor Gorecki, she could have just left them and been done with it. All this brought to mind another worry. A day prior, she had noticed a car, beige and nondescript, following her. At first, she thought it was her imagination, but the longer she watched, the more she became convinced someone was tailing her. She'd made some detours the day before and seemed to give them the slip, but somehow she knew they were still on her trail and that the lead she'd established wouldn't last forever. She pushed these thoughts and worries down, for watching the car disappear in her rear view, she realized it hadn't been the cops at all. No, just another car, also unfortunate enough to be on these back roads. No reason to panic. Panic wouldn't help anything. She would carry on just as she'd planned, make a run for it down to Florida and to Rita. Then they would lay low and, in time, be able to pick up the pieces. Or so she kept telling herself. Thinking of Rita made her check her phone again. The blank screen now flickered as if from some electrical interference. Sienna wished she could call Rita. Just hearing her voice would reassure her right now. Damn it! Would this weird dead zone ever end? She held down the power button for the millionth time, willing the phone to reboot and reset. She had to pick up service eventually. But ever since leaving the highway, it felt as though any tie to the outside world had been cut off, up by the damn trees looming all around. In all reality, she might not be far from the highway at all. But right now, she might as well be on the moon. The beginnings of a headache marshaled around her temples as the endless trees went past. Sienna found herself wishing she'd stopped for food sooner. Just a bite would help even her out. What she wanted right now was just to have something, anything, heaping and hot to eat, and a tall glass of something cold to wash it down. A juicy burger, heaping fries. Those would do nicely right now. Oh, and a tall glass of lemonade with condensation beating on the sides. Now that she was thinking on it, she could practically taste both. So vivid was the sudden fantasy that she almost failed to register the deer staring dumbly at her from the center of the road. With a curse, she applied the brakes and grappled with the wheel as the car began to slide. A million half-remembered facts about what she should do when about to lose control of the car flew through her head and then were gone. But she managed to stay on the road, riding down the rumble strip along the right side. The deer watched the squealing vehicle with that same deadpan look before hopping away as if nothing had happened. Meanwhile, the car bumped and rolled over something on the shoulder, causing a loud pop from the front right side. Oh, shit! The car rolled to a stop. Sienna sat there for a time, gripping the steering wheel. After a moment, she let out a long breath and stepped from the driver's side to see the damage. The front right tire had been punctured by something, and a trail of rubber stretched away from behind the vehicle along the shoulder. Of all the rotten luck! All the shitty luck! But this wasn't the end of the world. She just put on the spare. Opening the trunk and moving things she had crammed in there, she set about removing the extra tire from its compartment beneath the trunk's floor. But as she pulled it into the evening light, the last puff of optimism left her. The spare tire was cracked and rotted. She cursed herself for settling on this old beater, but it had been a last-minute purchase. A temporary ride to let her slip town while Gregor was none the wiser. Now she sat on its opened trunk as the late-day heat enwrapped her, watching the sunset and trying to think up her next move while she willed the goddamn phone to work. She had not been there long when an old truck trundled up the road from the direction she'd been coming. It began to slow as it came on until it pulled even with her.
Please don't be some creep.
She felt herself stiffen, but tried to remain at ease as the figure in the truck leaned over to the passenger side and cranked the manual window control. The window came down slowly, revealing a ruddy-faced man with a graying beard. His long hair was pulled back into a ponytail, and he smiled brightly.
Evening. You in a spot of trouble?
Tire blew, but it's okay. AAA will be here soon.
The man gave her a smile.
You telling me you've got a magical phone that gets service out here?
Her face must have betrayed her thoughts, but the man laughed warmly.
You'd be surprised at the amount of folks who get out this way and get turned around when their little navigators or whatever they have go on the fritz. You need help with that tire?
She looked from the stranger to the useless spare lying beside the car. The man appeared the kind type. He reminded her a bit of her grandfather, though those memories were dim at best. Maybe this was some of that southern hospitality people talked about. But she knew too well how hard it was to trust appearances and how well people could maintain their masks. Still, what was her other option? Wait here and hope that someone else came by? She noted again the lengthening shadows.
The tire's no good,
she admitted at last.
Ain't nothing but a thing. My place is just around the bend there. Got a landline that works just fine. We can call AAA or whoever you need. In fact, I got some old junkers I keep around for ports. Might be I can swap the tire for you if you want. Got one about the same make and model as yours, if I recall.
He leaned over again, this time opening the passenger door. She considered the door and again thought of the waning sunlight. She became suddenly aware of the leaning trees and the crowding thick brush just off the road where dark already reigned. And dark in the countryside is different from that urban dark to which she had grown accustomed. But her discomfort looking at the shadows of this back road ran deeper still, for this darkness made her skin crawl. This darkness settled slowly over the land like a bad omen. In the end, the darkness was the deciding factor. Keeping her purse tightly closed and against her chest, she climbed into the truck. Just out of sight, she kept her free hand wrapped around her keys so that they poked out from between her knuckles.
"I'm Floyd," the man said as they pulled away. "Yes, indeed. Floyd McCaskey, at your service."
"I'm Sienna."
"Just Sienna?"
"Just Sienna."
"All right, then, just Sienna."
The man smiled his warm smile and guided the truck down the road.
"You're a long way from home. Unless I'm mistaken, those were New York plates on that car."
"Traveling to see a friend. They're expecting me, actually."
The man nodded sagely and asked nothing more. It seemed he hadn't exaggerated when he said his place was close. Just a little further around the bend, a gravel drive opened on the left. It ascended along a weaving path toward a white farmhouse on the hill. The top of an old barn peeked out from further back on the property.
"Home, sweet home," Floyd said as they pulled to a stop.
Sienna got out of the vehicle and surveyed the area. Some small enclosed fields lay near the house. Most were empty, save for some old pieces of tarped-over equipment and vehicles. She thought she heard pigs from somewhere at the back toward the barn. A pervasive smell of what must have been manure made her wrinkle her nose as she looked up at the peeling white paint of the farmhouse. The place looked a little frayed at the edges, but still quaint in its way.
"Come on in," Floyd said to her as he mounted the steps. "Phone's in the kitchen if you want to go ahead and call. But if you prefer, I'll take a look and see if I have a spare that might work for you. Seems you're in a hurry to get going."
"That would be great, actually."
"Well, come on then. You just make yourself comfortable and I'll have a look."
He led her to a kitchen. Like the rest of the property, it was a little out of sorts. The old linoleum was scuffed. The counter edges were chipped in places. But it was clean, and when Floyd offered her a seat at the small table by the window, she didn't hesitate to take it. Floyd opened the fridge and rummaged around before turning to her with a pitcher.
"If you don't mind me saying so, the heat looks like it was doing a number on you. Here's a little something to keep you refreshed while I have a look around. I am rather proud of my lemonade."
She eyed the pitcher. Her dry throat told her it would be just what the doctor ordered, but the cautious part of her bristled.
"That's really okay. I appreciate it, though."
Floyd looked crestfallen.
"Well, I'll just leave it here in case you change your mind."
He placed the pitcher and a glass on the table before her.
"Give me a few minutes to find my tools. Make sure I got what you need."
Then he was gone. She sat there, eyeing the corded phone which sat across the kitchen on the counter. Maybe she should just call someone, get a tow truck out here. Then again, if this Floyd really could get her something workable, she could be back on the road before night fell. And thinking of that follower she'd given the slip, this didn't seem a bad proposition. So, she waited and waited. It had to have been no more than 10 minutes, but it felt far longer. And the longer she sat, the more she remembered how dry her throat was and how she had planned to grab some dinner once she made the South Carolina line. Condensation beaded on the glass and traced its way in little rivulets down to the table. The ice cubes clinked and popped lightly as they melted in the summer air. She knew just a few drops would set her right. Oh, what the hell? She'd just have a little sip. The sip turned into a gulp, and she realized why Floyd was proud of his lemonade. It was some of the best she'd ever tasted.
"All righty, sorry about that wait," said Floyd,
as he came in through the back door with a toolbox.
"I do believe I've got something that'll get you back on the road till you can do better. Took the liberty of loading it up in the truck. If we hurry, I think we can get that sucker changed before it gets too dark out."
"Thank you so much," she replied.
She felt bad about being standoffish earlier.
"You're a real lifesaver."
"Like I say, ain't nothing but a thing. Come on now, we'll head on back and get you set right."
They returned to the truck and trundled their way back down the gravel driveway. Floyd broke the silence between them.
"Ask you something?"
"Depends,"
he chuckled.
"Fair enough. You in some kind of trouble?"
She tried to look nonchalant.
"What makes you say that?"
He shrugged.
"Just seem awful set on getting back on the road. What happened to AAA?
"I just want to get going. It's been a long trip and..."
"I apologize. Don't mean to pry in your business. Just, I don't see many folk coming and going out here that aren't local."
Sienna kept her eyes forward and said nothing.
"Forget I said anything. Just an old body talking to fill time. Whatever you got going on, that's your thing."
"Thank you," she said after a time. "Really, thank you for all of this."
they arrived at the car. The sky turned bloody on the horizon as the sun prepared to make its final bow. She went to get out, but Floyd stopped her with a gesture.
"You just sit tight. I'll take care of it. Makes an old man feel useful. Just rest a minute."
Then he was out and fiddling with the small jack and the tire he'd brought. She watched him for a moment before letting her eyes drift toward that deepening red glow on the horizon. The thought of driving through the night suddenly held even less appeal. Though she still worried about being followed, if whoever was after her hadn't come upon her by now, maybe they'd lost her trail. Maybe she could find an out-of-the-way motel or some place to just pull off for an hour. She felt so damn tired. Maybe she would just let her eyes rest for a minute. Yes, just a few minutes while the tire got changed. That warm, fading light was so pleasant. The cabin of the truck suddenly felt comfy with its heat, and her body seemed to melt away as she closed her eyes. Just for a few minutes. A vehicle wound its way along the wooded roads. The burning sun had dipped well past midday, and bright afternoon light filtered through the trees. Though the car itself was unmarked, in it rode two detectives.
"What exactly are we looking to accomplish?" asked Gerard from the passenger seat.
A tired-eyed man, whose dark hair was already streaked with gray, he nursed a cooling cup of coffee carefully as the car took the winding turns. Samuel didn't respond, only kept his eyes trained forward, as if he needed to concentrate on the empty road instead of the question. Gerard sighed.
"Look, Sam, when it comes out that we're spending time taking joyrides across the county instead of following up on that pile of crap Randolph handed us, it's not just your ass that's going to get chewed out."
"You didn't have to come," said Sam.
"Sure, but we're supposed to be partners. Besides, feels like I wouldn't be doing my part letting you go off on some crazy tangent unsupervised."
Samuel smiled thinly.
"Oh, come on, G. Don't act like you're coming from some place of superiority. You're your own man. You can do what you want. Truth is, you're here joyriding because you know something isn't right."
A beat of silence passed between them. At last, Gerard said,
"We've been over this so many damn times. They arrested that professor who lived over in Brighton. Killed the whole house of people, along with his wife and that girl he taught at the university in Cold Springs. Total fruitcake, way I heard it."
"And because he did that, you think he was also the reason that people have been periodically disappearing clear on the other side of the county for who knows how long? The same guy with no material evidence tying him to anything beyond the killings you mentioned?"
"I wasn't on the case. You weren't on the case. Hell, like you said, it wasn't even our county. Besides, Randolph said..."
"Gee, come on, man. You know Randolph. He was just happy to see it buttoned up. Wasn't he the one who kept sidelining us when we were the first to recognize a geographical pattern of the disappearances? I don't know what his angle is, but he might as well be one of those boys from over in Brighton with the way he carries on investigations. Besides, everyone knows he's really buddy-buddy with that Sheriff Braddon. If I didn't know any better, I'd say he just wanted it wrapped up before it could get any attention from higher up." Gerard didn't respond.
"You know I'm right." "No, you're in your head. And you're getting in mine. What are you saying? You think Randolph's dirty or something?"
Samuel shrugged and gave another thin smile.
"You said it, not me. Maybe he's just complacent. Hell, maybe there's just not much difference between the two. All I'm saying is, just let me have a look around and think. We'll catch a late bite in Cold Springs, then come back. Anyone asks,
Just say we were tracking down a lead about that latest missing person memo we got. Isn't that part of the pile of the pile of crap Randolph handed us? Say we're dragging the net out here. Not even much of a lie if you think about it. I just get a feeling about this.
Oh, not this again.
It was Samuel's turn for silence. He didn't want to start the long drive on such a sour note. But part of him worried if Gerard was right. Maybe he was seeing patterns that just weren't there. He still wasn't familiar with this acute sense of attraction that kept drawing his mind back to the missing persons posters and the map with its dots scattered around this countryside. He'd only made detective a year prior, and though he'd already had opportunity to be invested in cases before, something about this one screamed at him. He just had to get out and have a look. For what? He couldn't say, but he couldn't stop thinking about coming out here. It felt like a compulsion, driving him toward some what? Strange as it seemed, he couldn't keep words like destiny and doom from his mind. They felt so ridiculous. They felt so right. Even stranger, sometimes he thought he dreamed about these back roads. The whole day was feeling like a long deja vu. He almost imagined there was someone whispering in his ear, telling him to go here and do that. But he'd never let on about that part. Gerard was solid, but he'd really start thinking Samuel had a few screws loose. For all Samuel knew, he already did. And who knew what anyone else in the department might think? So, the two rode on in silence, alone save for one car, beige and nondescript, which passed them, going the opposite way, and was soon gone. Sienna could feel her heartbeat, though it was no longer a simple thrumming in her chest. It sat firmly in both temples, a pair of blunt instruments beating in tandem against the sides of her head. And her mouth was dry. So dry, she imagined her throat like a cracked riverbed. Some of that sweet lemonade would feel so good right now. It was this thought that pulled her from the murk of half-consciousness. A rising tide of panic made her breath become shallow and rapid. She opened her eyes, but the world around was only gloom. Where was she? What had happened? She remembered the tire blowout, the endless back roads, and the kind-faced man who had stopped to help. He'd given her the sweet lemonade. He had just been changing her tire when she shut her eyes to rest. Had she nodded off? Suddenly, she had trouble remembering what more had happened. Surely she must have gotten back on the road and continued on her way to freedom. Surely. But if that were the case, why was she now in this darkness? Her chest rose and fell in rapid breaths as she found her hands bound before her and her ankles secured together with something heavy and metallic.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
She tried to calm herself. Panic couldn't help. If she were to have any chance of getting away from whatever she'd stumbled into, she had to stay calm. And yet, no sooner than she told herself this, a shuffling sound from the darkness made her freeze. A voice drifted from the gloom, small and frightened.
Someone there?
After some hesitation, Sienna responded, "Yes."
Oh no,
the voice said.
You too.
At the reply, Sienna's mind finally began to grasp the situation. She, and now it seemed one other, were being held in this blackened place. But why?
Who are you?
She asked the darkness.
Where are we?
He got you. Got us both.
Who are you talking about? We shouldn't be talking. He'll get mad and use a gag if he hears.
Sienna intended to press with the questions, but a groan of rusty hinges sounded, and blinding white light pierced the gloom. She had to hold up a hand against the brilliant glow. So long had her eyes apparently been without it. A shadow parted the gleam, becoming a silhouette that ambled down earthen stairs toward them.
Well now, look who's all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Floyd McCaskey stood before her, still wearing his winning smile.
You're a tough little cookie. Started to wonder if I was losing my touch there. But you went right off to the land of Nod eventually. Say, how about that lemonade? Ain't it the best you ever had? At a taste? Can't even tell it's special, can you?
The goddamn lemonade.
She berated herself for not trusting her gut. So much for Southern hospitality.
What do you want from me?
She asked, not trying to keep the anger from her voice.
Oh, me? I don't want nothing from you. Honest truth. But someone else does. That's why you've been brought here. It's been willed.
So you're working for someone?
Trying to play detective?
Floyd chuckled. He produced a hip flask and took a swig. Whatever was within tinged his teeth black as he smiled. He shook himself, as if reinvigorated by the draft.
Woo-wee! That's the stuff!
Other people are looking for me.
Floyd wiped at his mouth.
I wondered about that. I was right, wasn't I? About you being in a spot of trouble? You don't seem too keen on being found either, keeping a low profile and all. In fact, I reckon you done given whoever else you're worried about the slip. Which makes this perfect. It was meant to be after all.
Before she could reply, Floyd turned to regard the sunlit opening through which he descended. Sounds of snorting and grunting as of many great hogs drifted down to them.
Hate to leave so soon, Floyd said. But I got things need tending to. Glad to see you're awake, though. Be time for the festivities once the sun sets. Y'all just sit tight and be quiet now, hear?
Then he was back up the steps, and with another groan of hinges, the light was cut off. Sienna slumped down. Here she was, thinking she'd escaped one nightmare, only to be thrown into something worse. No, she couldn't think like that. She could sit and throw a pity party, but that might as well be signing her own death certificate. She had gotten away from Gregor Gorecki. She could escape one old hick.
Hey, she called into the darkness. Where are you?
You should be quiet, came the small voice. We'll be in trouble if we're too loud.
Sienna zeroed in on the direction of the voice and crawled toward it.
We're in trouble right now. But there's two of us and one of him. If we can figure something out, we can take him. Get out of here.
Silence then.
What's your name?
Sienna asked. She thought the voice would not respond, that whoever else was down here must have broken under the strain of whatever they'd endured. But after a moment, the voice spoke again.
Mary. My name is Mary Mulholland.
Good to meet you, Mary. I'm Sienna.
She propped up on her elbows and reappraised the darkness. As her eyes adjusted to the meager light seeping in around the closed door, she was able to make out another figure slumped across from her. Between them, the concrete floor of the room was scored by deep markings. Maybe some kind of pattern, and an object sat in the center of the room. If she had kept her wits about her, she would have taken in everything when there had been light, but it had been too painful and dazzling.
What happened to you, Mary?
Do you have any idea about what's going on here?
As if speaking her name strengthened her resolve, Mary went on with a steadier voice.
I think I saw old blood when he brought me down here. Don't you smell it? The rot? I don't know. Being in the dark, it's making me... Well, I've had such horrible dreams. He talks about feeding. Do you think he's a cannibal?
Sienna felt cold despite the summer heat. Of all the things she imagined facing, being consumed by another person was never one of them. This had to be a nightmare.
I think he's crazy, Sienna said. But it's just him. No one else around from what I saw. We just need to get our legs free. When he comes the next time, we can rush him. Maybe push past and just book it out.
Can't.
Mary shifted, and Sienna saw her feet were not bound. Slowly, she extended a leg. Even in the dark, Sienna could see it was hugely swollen at the ankle, and the foot was turned in an unnatural way.
He let his guard down. I ran for it, but you wouldn't think he's as fast as he is, or as strong. I couldn't get away. Ran me down and told me he'd pay me back for the trouble.
Sienna stared at the ruined ankle for a time. She wondered morbidly over how it had happened. Did the old hick smash it with something, or had he done it with his own hands?
You wouldn't think he's as fast as he is, or as strong.
There would be no running then. Not for Mary, anyways. But Sienna wouldn't follow this line of thought further. She didn't like where it led.
We'll figure something out, she said after a time. We have to.
Mary remained silent.
Talk to me,
Sienna prodded. Mary sounded a step away from complete resignation, and Sienna couldn't afford to lose a potential ally.
What happened to you? Maybe if we talk it over, we can think of some way out. There's got to be something he's not prepared for.
Mary let out a low sigh.
He picked me up a town over. My folks kicked me out. They didn't like... Doesn't matter anymore. I was trying to figure a way out of town. Didn't intend to hitchhike, but he came up to me. It's like he knew I was just in the right frame of mind to take him up on his offer.
You heard him. Keep saying all this was willed, like it couldn't have happened any other way. He's crazy, I guess, but... I don't know. Maybe it's catching. How long have you been here?
I don't know. It's so dark, I lost track. Maybe a couple of days? Maybe a week? He gave me some of that lemonade and I woke up down here, same as you. I thought he'd kill me, but just comes down and feeds me sometimes.
It's like he's waiting for something. He hasn't touched me other than when I tried to run.
And what did you see when you ran? Are we in the basement?
I don't think so. It's a blur, but I remember there being trees when I came out. We're a little away from the house, I think. Maybe a root cellar or something he dug out himself? I just don't know.
Sienna rolled onto her back and stared at the dark, enshrouded ceiling of the place. She'd hoped, maybe naively, that the girl would mention some small detail which would be the key to escape. But right now, she only had more questions. Floyd's words echoed in her mind. It's been willed. And she grew uneasy. She thought of how the highway traffic had been just bad enough to make her consider an alternate route. How her phone went on the fritz once she was isolated. Coincidences, surely. But then there was Mary, someone else in a vulnerable position, practically picked out of a crowd. It was as if this place was a rotten vortex, drawing its victims like quicksand or a sucking marsh. She tried to put that thought away, but the longer she lay there, the stronger it became. Soon she began wondering what it might feel like to be carved up, and how long it would take the pain to stop if the old hick was slow about it. But then, the faintest noise intruded on the grim silence and pulled her mind from the spiral. She wasn't sure exactly what it was, so faint was the sound, but she almost thought she heard the distant rumble of a motor and a crunch of gravel under tires.
Mary, you hear that?
Hear what?
I think someone else just showed up.
Clarence Ross was in a foul mood. As he navigated the wooded roads in his beige Accord, he kept tapping at his unresponsive phone.
Piece of shit,
he hissed, and pulled over to the shoulder. The AC had started to act up, and he'd had to roll his windows down. Despite the breeze he caught, sweat still ran down his face. First, he'd had a tire blow, and now the damned radiator fans were acting up. He worried about the engine overheating. Forget Gregor's ire. This piece of junk car was going to be the death of him. In fact, fuck Gregor. That prick was acting like king of the world since he'd offed his decrepit uncle. A power trip, that's what this was. Guy gets spurned by one girl, and he takes it as some kind of personal affront. For Christ's sake, Gregor could get another. And it's not like she had any damning evidence on the operation, or he hoped that Gregor was smart enough to not mix business and pleasure. But the boss seemed intent on loosing all the dogs of war to find her. Ah, but remember, the king, even a mad one, has the gold. Keep your eye on the prize. That got his mind back on track. Show me the money. He considered the trees and mulled over his next move. This bitch was wily, more than he'd initially thought. She got out in some old beater and left her car parked in its usual spot. She had a big lead before old Gregor realized she was gone. She probably figured Gregor crazy enough to track the car somehow. Hell, he'd bought it for her. But he'd give this round to Gregor's paranoia. The car had been rigged with a tracker. But so had the shiny new phone he'd given her months before. Informed by the tracking app, he'd been following along quite nicely. Almost caught up to her the day before, had the car troubles and the highway traffic not set him back. Last pinged location was somewhere out here, but then, poof, his phone goes up in smoke. He found himself wondering if she'd done something. But that was crazy, right? Damn straight it was. Ultimately, he decided to push on a little more. Maybe he'd get free of this weird interference, or maybe he'd find something to put him back on the trail. After driving a little further, he found a farmhouse sat up on a hill a little ways back from the road. Aside from a single car he'd passed some time earlier, this was the first sign of human life he'd seen out here. He decided to pull into the drive and see if anyone was home. Maybe they'd seen her come by. In the very least, maybe they could help him find his way back to the interstate. Floyd had heard the car and sensed it would turn in long before it began trundling up his gravel driveway. Now it seemed she called for this one too. But she had not told him another would come, and this troubled him. He pretended not to notice the car's approach. Brim of his straw hat pulled low to block the sun, he took his time locking up the big barn doors and walking back toward the house as the car came to a stop out front.
"Afternoon, sir,"
Floyd watched as the dark-haired man emerged from the beige sedan that was now covered with a thin sheet of dust.
"Afternoon," he drawled back. "Help you?"
"Yeah, actually, if you're not busy."
"Fixing to feed the hogs,"
Floyd said, cocking his head back in the direction of the barn and the porcine grunting from within.
"But they ain't hurting for food. What can I do for you?"
"I'm trying to get back to the highway. Missed an exit a little way back,
and then some road work sent me on a detour. Guess I gotten turned around.
Floyd smiled.
Well, lucky thing. You're not too far off. Say, if you have a minute, we could step out of the heat. I could get you a drink and write down some directions.
The man smiled.
Sure, I'd appreciate that.
Well, come on then.
Floyd gave the man a glass of lemonade and scratched on a notepad at the counter with a pencil stub.
Well, how'd you end up way out here, if you don't mind my asking? Not exactly a happening place these days.
Yeah, I'm actually looking for someone.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe you've seen her? Pretty little thing. Dark hair, driving a beat-up green Civic. I'd show you a picture, but something's wrong with my phone.
Sorry, don't ring a bell. She lost?
Eh, something like that. Last heard from in this area.
You a cop?
A P.I.
Floyd offered him the scrawled directions.
Real sorry, but I don't see much anybody out here.
The supposed P.I. nodded.
Figures.
He downed the rest of the lemonade in one go.
Sorry to bother you. I'll get on out of your hair.
Sure you don't want to sit for a minute longer? Pardon me saying so, but you look two steps from heat stroke.
The man smiled tightly, clearly annoyed.
No time. Duty calls and all that. Thanks again for the help.
Anytime. Hope your search goes well. You find that little girl now, you hear?
I'll do my best,
the man said.
That is some damn good lemonade, by the way.
Oh, ain't it just? I am proud of it myself.
Floyd followed him out the door. He watched carefully, waiting for any telltale sign of a wobbly step. But the man kept on steady toward his car. Then a breeze ruffled the trees and carried with it a sound, small and easy to miss unless you were paying attention. It was a voice, muffled and suppressed further by distance, crying out. The man cocked his head. Floyd's jaw tightened. But then the man continued on, probably chalking it up to the wind. Floyd continued smiling brightly and waved as the man got in his car and left with a puff of dust. Whistling, Floyd sauntered back behind the house toward the nearby tree line. Though he had showed no signs of the effects yet, Floyd reckoned the P.I. would end up in a ditch inside of 10 or 15 minutes. Shame just how easy it was to lose control on these winding roads if you weren't paying attention. Providence providing, maybe the crash would do for him. But if not, Floyd would pay him a visit just to make sure things were kept quiet-like. After all, that man was faded now. He'd go into the barn with the others. But the afternoon would quickly be turning toward evening, and he had preparations to begin if his work was to be completed as ordained.
Is anyone there? Help!
Sienna collapsed onto the floor with a raw throat, finally acknowledging that no one was coming. Either they couldn't hear her leather-lunged screams, or the sound she'd heard was just Floyd coming and going in his truck instead of a newcomer. Yet, no sooner than she considered this, the sound of approaching footsteps came from the door at the top of the stairs.
Hey! Hey! In here!
She screamed.
Please stop, said Mary. He'll get mad.
The hatch opened, and sunlight, waning and less dazzling than before, streamed in. Floyd stood astride the stream of light. Even in silhouette, Sienna sensed a tension about him. He took steady steps down toward them.
Told y'all to hush up, didn't I?
Sienna braced herself for action and tried to still the tremble in her hands. Whatever this old bastard had in store, she would fight until she couldn't.
Almost thought you'd managed to make a mess of things. I should have known better. She wouldn't let it come to that. Not this close to the time being right.
She? Sienna filed that away.
Who was it he was doing this for? As Floyd stood above them, Sienna took a moment to examine the room while she had the light and wherewithal to do so. Strange dark stains blotched the ground, as of something spilled, had been scrubbed but not fully removed. Mary's description of old bloodstains crawled back to mind. Across the floor, carved into the concrete itself, were the grooves she had felt earlier. They did form some kind of pattern, series of interlocking partial circles that reminded her vaguely of a hazmat symbol. A serpentine form seemed to branch from the topmost circle, and something which looked uncomfortably like an eye nestled in the center. She looked away from it quickly. Finally, she saw Mary relieved of the shadows. The girl was thin, hair matted and hanging limp partially over her face. One exhausted eye peered back from the obscuring hair. That eye held too much pain and resignation. Sienna averted her gaze yet again. Floyd stood between them in the center of the circle.
"Looks like we might be getting one more guest tonight, depending on what happens out on the road in a few minutes. Ain't that exciting? Either way, gonna be busier than I thought. Have to hurry to keep on schedule. But I reckon I'll manage. Always have."
Sienna realized then that the man held a mortar and pestle, steadily crunching some unknown substance within as he spoke. Crouching within the strange symbols carved into the floor, Floyd set the mortar at the center of the configuration and withdrew a long knife from a scabbard attached to the rear of his belt. He held the blade aloft and muttered some sibilant and unknown words before drawing it across his thumb. Blood welled, and he squeezed it into the mixture within the small bowl before proceeding to mix it together, all the while muttering those low and strange tones. The hairs on the back of Sienna's neck came to attention. With each word spoken, the air became charged, as if a strange energy permeated the underground lair. She thought then of the interference in the area, how her cell phone had only begun to fail the further she went from the highway and the closer to this place. Was there something radiating from this farm? Could there really be some malign influence reaching out from this place to entrap poor isolated souls? The idea seemed insane, but as she watched the weird workings of Floyd, the strangest ideas became much more tangible. Apparently satisfied with his strange preparations, Floyd ceased his mixing of the bowl's contents and rose to face Mary. He went to her and bent. Sienna couldn't see what he was doing, only that Mary tried to slide back just to be trapped against the wall.
"You're a sick freak, you know that?"
Sienna said. The man didn't pause or look her way.
"You just wait your turn now."
Then he rose again and spun on a dime to face Sienna, the clay bowl still in hand. He came toward her, those weird words spilling from his lips as he swirled a finger into the bloody mixture within the bowl. He bent down, pointer finger extended with a glob of foul black on its tip. She realized he meant to put it on her. As he leaned in, Floyd reached as if to plant it on her forehead. She held still, then at the last minute jerked upward and bit down on the space between the extended finger and the thumb. Foul blood welled in her mouth. In her mind, the old farmer wailed and stumbled back. But this was not to be. Instead, the man withdrew his hand calmly, heedless of the tearing flesh, and studied it. For her part, Sienna spat dark blood from her mouth along with a bit of skin. A black substance glistened on the ground and stank like a bog. Then, having taken in the wound with an amused look, Floyd struck her, quick as a viper.
"Why can't you be like your little friend over there?"
he asked.
"You've been chosen,"
Don't you get that? Best thing for you is to let come what may. If you give yourself to the mother openly, it'll be so much better.
Sienna reeled from the blow, wondering what the hell this guy was. He hadn't even flinched when she'd taken a chunk from his hand. And that blood? No, blood didn't seem the right description. If she didn't know better, she'd have said that what flowed through the man's veins was some black bile. Whatever the case, she was stunned long enough for him to move his finger back and forth across her face, streaking a strange pattern on the skin.
"Good, good,"
Floyd said to himself as he rose.
"There's still time."
Sienna watched him as he looked up the stairs toward the fading light which streamed down. He seemed to be considering something. At last, he turned back to them with his smile.
"All right, I'm gonna go see to some business real quick. Y'all don't go nowhere."
Something didn't sit right with Floyd. As he walked to the idling truck and climbed in, he cast a glance to the barn at the back of the property. The timing was important. Full dark wouldn't fall for some time yet, and the last-minute appearance of that supposed PI had him second-guessing himself. Surely it was no coincidence that he arrived when he had. Surely he must also be chosen. Had not he felt her hunger for the man? And yet, Floyd wondered if it would have been better to just let him go. Clearly, he'd had no clue that the person he was after had even been nearby, and he very well may have gone on his way and forgotten the farm, as had others. Despite its timing, his arrival hadn't felt ordained in the way all the others had. If anything, his appearance felt like a fly in the ointment. Considering that, along with this new bitch who seemed intent on fighting him every step of the way, he felt an unease rising from within. But he pushed these thoughts away. They were cowardly, faithless thoughts. He reminded himself that he now flowed through his own prepared current in time, a path laid out by one greater, as was now the path of that man. For all who arrived at the time of feeding were themselves tangled in the mother's web of fate. With a whispered word of prayer, he put the truck into drive and started down the hill. He made the road and turned in toward the place his scrawled directions would have indicated. Not toward the highway, but deeper into the winding back roads. He had not made it far when he spied the vehicle off the road and plowed into a pine tree. A smile started on his lips, but faltered. He slowed the truck and watched as another car pulled off beside the wreckage. Two men got out and rushed to the vehicle.
"Shit, Var," he whispered.
"This shouldn't be happening. No one ought to be around here now." He looked to the waning light, sensed he didn't have a moment to waste now. He made a decision then, easing off into a dirt side road. He turned around and went back toward the farm.
You can probably guess that there's more to this story, right? You would be correct. We've just heard part one, called Doom. Next week, I'll share part two, Destiny. I can't wait to uncover what sort of entity Floyd is working under. Can our two detectives sort this mess out in time? Or will everyone be lost to the riptide that seems to surround Brighton and those connected to it? You'll have to tune in next week to find out. Or, if I've already released part two, you'll find a link to it on your screen shortly. Hurry! Run! Don't walk! If you enjoyed this story, please leave a like on this video. And check out more from this author in the playlist appearing on your screen. Let me know how you think this will play out in the comments. And whatever you do, stay suspicious of the delicious lemonade. And don't fall asleep.